time for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV-FM. Listen live at 104.9 FM, stream at listenlikealocal.com, or enjoy the program on the official WSKV-FM app from the Google Play or Apple App Store. You can also listen on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast. You're listening to PCSN Live. Let's join Dave and Ken at the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton.
And good evening and welcome everyone to another edition of PCSN Live with Dave and Ken. And this is Dave Fulner along with Ken Simon. And we are, again, on here on WSKV 104.9 FM. Our guest tonight, here a little bit later on the show, will be head baseball coach at Powell County, Frank Spencer. And we'll also be having on here at the same time, former head baseball coach here at Powell County and current head baseball coach at the Montgomery County High School, which is Chris Varney. You know, have both these gentlemen on here and talk a little about COVID, baseball, and some other things that they want to talk a little bit about tonight. So, first I'll go to Ken with some COVID update numbers.
All right. First of all, you know, when you stop and think about this county, we've had low numbers consistently over the weeks, but here this week, our numbers have increased. We currently have 17 total cases. Seven of those are active cases. 10 of those are recovered. We also have our first pediatric patient that's part of this number as well. So we've had six new cases this particular week here in the county. When you look at that, obviously across the state, things are ticking up. And it's kind of one of those situations where we continue to talk every week. Everybody's going to have to do their part in order to kind of keep things safe, you know, wearing your mask out in public, things along that line. Across the state, there's 20,677 total positive cases. What's interesting in the statistics now is that there are lab-confirmed cases and probable cases. So probable cases are included in that total number of positive cases, even though the information, their test results might not necessarily be back. As an example, someone in the household tests positive. You've not had a chance to go and get tested yourself. You're listed as probable because of the contact tracing within the household. So almost 500,000 people have been tested. 498,179 have been tested across the state. So almost 500,000 people, large numbers there. A 4.62 positivity rate. There have been 5,475 people that have recovered. And unfortunately, 645 deaths that have occurred during this time span. So when you go back and look really across the time frame when this started, all the way back in March, 20,000 cases over that, you know, 4 or 5 month period, pretty low numbers, you know, when you consider everyone around us, all the other states. Unfortunately, the numbers are ticking up in Kentucky, and we've got to do a better job of kind of curtailing and taking those numbers down a little bit better.
Yeah, the mask wearing, I guess the thing sent out by Governor Beshear, which is now being argued in court, whether it's he had the right to do that. But everybody involved in the case, even, it's kind of weird. Daniel Cameron, among them, have said a mask is a good idea. You should be wearing a mask. I'm going to wear a mask, yet they're still having a suit about whether or not he has the authority to do so. And I believe that most states have confirmed that the governor of each state has that right. Kentucky, if they go against Governor Beshear, will be the first state to go against a sitting governor on making these. But regardless, masks have now been shown to both help you from passing it and also help you from getting it from another person. So masks just sound like a pretty good idea to me. You know, if you're going into a store, if you're going to be close together for a short matter of time, I think masks is a good idea. It's an easy call. When you get back to school, and that's one of the, you know, the next things we'll talk about a little bit is back to school. You're right now, the school start time is August 26th.
Fifth
for students. For teachers is
24th.
So just a couple days before the kids come in will be the first day for staff. Now, Jefferson County has already come out and they're going to do distance learning, I believe, to start the year. So we're kind of going to see how we trend. If you see more counties jumping into that, which are, you know, Jefferson County, one of the highest numbers of contacts that we have of COVID in Jefferson County. Fayette County is on a big rise. And I think in these cases, you have to kind of throw out, to me, you have to throw out the nursing homes, you have to throw out the jail numbers, and just kind of have the regular cases, because that's more out there in the public. But all these cases, and they're saying it's really bad if you get into confined areas. Well, in my opinion, if you're in a classroom for an extended amount of time, that's a pretty confined area, masked or not masked. I think it's a big risk for all involved. I'm including the staff, all staff and the students as well. So I'm not sure what the best idea is, but that's the idea we're having right now.
Well, at least at this point, there are two options, you know, for parents. You know, you can send your child to school just like they normally would go, obviously with guidelines in place. And or you can do the remote learning where you're keeping your child at home and won't be assigned a remote teacher where they'll have their assignments online, things along that line. So as we get closer to that date, what kind of adjustments will be made, won't be made? You know, registration and email and phone call was sent out earlier by the district talking about registration. Obviously, if you don't choose either one of those options, you're homeschooling. You know, now you're kind of on your own in a sense without the support of the district. Obviously, you hope everyone registers their children and chooses one of those two options. You know, we need as many students enrolled in school as we can possibly get. Nothing against, you know, homeschooling or anything, because people have that right. But at the same time, we need those numbers up. Obviously, will it be different under the circumstances? Absolutely. Will there be challenges? Sure, there will. Especially when you get down to the lower grades. You know, with your kindergarten, wearing the mask, not wearing the mask. You know, now at that point, staff are wearing the mask, but then those kids that are wearing masks, let's say in first grade or second grade, they're going to be picking at their face and touching them, the mask and all of that in general, just like we all do. You know, when you're wearing that mask for an extended period of time, at that point, you're probably touching your face more than you normally would without it. So obviously, under the circumstances, there's going to be a lot that's going to have to take place in order to make it for a safe environment. And then as we've talked even prior, you know, when that one case occurs within the district, at that point, contact tracing comes into effect. And now under those circumstances, where do we go from there? And at what point potentially are we shutting down just even based on a single case?
Yeah, and just to kind of throw that out there, you know, and I think in Estill County they had a couple cases. Their athletic program was shut down. Perry County had some cases. Their athletic program was shut down. We're just talking within the region. So you have to suspect if there was a COVID case among athletes, our program would probably be shut down. And again, it's to protect all the kids. If you're going to do that for athletics, does that send the same kind of token that you're going to do for the school? If you get 1, 2, 3 positive cases in the school, at that point, what do you do? Again, it takes a little bit of time to get the test results back. If you're in a class of 25, you've come in contact with that one student, the teacher has, and then you have multiple students that the teacher comes in contact with maybe the same day. What are your protocols? This is what our Pelican Board of Education, our superintendent, all the administrators, they get to sit down on these, have these discussions. That's why they get paid the big bucks, folks, And then we get to criticize what they do. And again, that's a tough job, tough call for all of them. And then you got politics that plays a part where, for an example, you know, President Trump says, I will withhold federal funding. And if you withhold federal funding, most of that funding goes to feeding the kids. So I don't really think they would withhold too many federal funds because the kids need to be fed. But you have to be registered, like you said a while ago, to be part of the free lunch and breakfast. If you register and you apply for those, you'll at least get those 10 meals per week provided if you are a distance learner. Is that
correct? Now, with that being said, you will have to make arrangements, correct, to pick that up. Now, that's not to say that the district won't meet someplace, you know, let's say wherever, Slade, you know, meet at the Go Time or something as an example. And then people in that area would come to it, or all of a sudden, you know, you're at a church parking lot or something like that, or Baker's Apartments or something, where all of a sudden now you have the food service van that's there and dropping off X amount of meals to those parents that have made those particular arrangements. So you're right. I mean, it'd definitely be a little bit different.
But at least you've got some protection there, because you're going to make sure we get those meals to these kids. And that's what's important, is those things taking place. We don't want them to miss out on those. We're going to step away for a break. We'll come back with our guest here on PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM.
Times have never been better to buy a new 2020 Chrysler Dodge Jeep or Ram than right now at Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Stanton. Rates are low, trade values are high, and rebates are at an all-time level. Drive forward with the folks at Tanner. You won't find a better deal or a better place to do business. Shop Tanner first. Call them at 606-663-2856. Just off the Mountain Parkway, exit 22 in Stanton. Proudly serving Eastern Kentucky for over 20 years.
Tanner Dodge Chrysler Jeep.
Whitaker Bank is uniquely Kentucky, and they know that you're unique in the way you want to do banking. That's why they offer great services like PhoneSmart, where you can call and find out about your account. Or how about text banking, where you can text and find out exactly what you want to know about your account. And you can set up really cool text alerts and find out when maybe you drop below a certain balance, reminding you to balance your checkbook. They have online banking and convenient apps for Android and Apple. Those apps give you the ability to make mobile deposits. Just snap a picture of your check and deposit it. Whitaker Bank also allows you to apply for a loan online at their website at WhitakerBank.com. And don't forget, you have access to your money 24/7 with Whitaker Bank's ATMs, where you can make a cash withdrawal day or night. For more information about these great services, call the main branch at 606-663-2283. That's Whitaker Bank, Stanton, Clay City, and Campton. Whitaker Bank, uniquely Kentucky. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Appalachian Wireless has a question for you. Would you rather pay $650 or $66 for a smartphone? If you think this answer is simple, then the Appalachian Advantage Plan is for you. Pay less upfront for today's hottest smartphones, and then pay just a few dollars more every month on the monthly bill. Many smartphones are $5 a month or less after you factor in the $20 discount from the Advantage Plan compared to the contract offering. Better service, bigger savings. That's today's Appalachian Wireless. Payment agreement required. See store for details.
The emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin is faster, closer, and better. When an emergency strikes, we are right down the street and ready to help. We offer full-service emergency care 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We have X-ray, CT, and lab services on site for assessing, diagnosing, and treating patients quickly. The emergency department is an accredited chest pain center and level 4 trauma center. You can expect expert care, quicker treatment, and improved outcomes. Choose the emergency department at Markham and Wallace Hospital in Irvin. Faster, closer, better.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 10.
The green light.
The green light.
There you go.
The green light. Now, Frank's mic is on, and we are also going to be joined by Coach Chris Varney. Are you on there, Coach? Coach Varney, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
All right, now we got Coach Varney on here as well. So a couple of things. I'll start with you first, Coach Varney. How has the COVID-19, last season you got your season canceled in the fall, in the spring. How did that season go, or how did not having that season go for you?
Well, you know, when it first started, it was, you know, we were just going to take a couple weeks off or a week off and, you know, try to get back right at it. And then, you know, as it went on and on, he's like, we're not coming back. So it was tough on our seniors. You know, we had some kids that had played a lot of games. You know, we had a good team coming back. And, you know, we were set up to, I wouldn't say win another region, but we was in the hunt for one. So that made it even tougher, knowing you have a chance to win something and go to state. You know, that hurts.
Yeah, you were probably going to be one of the top three teams, I would think, in that region, right?
I'd say top five, yeah, for sure.
So what have you got to do anything? I know Montgomery County was shut down until July 15th. Now, has that changed for you guys, or what kind of schedule are you guys on this time?
I think it's the same. I've not heard anything lately. We've not attempted to do anything yet. You know, we just kind of waiting and seeing how football goes and how those workouts come about and if they have to shut them down. I don't know.
So I guess the day for Montgomery County is the first day that you could actually start your practices for those seasons, and it'll be August before the real practice starts as of right now.
Right. So if everything goes smoothly and they let them start doing workouts and competing and practicing, you know, we'll start in the fall, you know, probably September, somewhere in there, trying to get our kids going in baseball again.
Okay, now I have one more question for you as far as youth sports. How is Montgomery County handling youth sports over there?
You know, I'm not exactly sure. I know they've reopened their park to where they're having some travel ball tournaments. But as far as, you know, hosting stuff and teams playing, I'm not exactly sure.
I got you. I didn't think you were involved in any. I just, you know, over here we're not doing anything at all except practicing and maybe in county scrimmages. But I know some counties have opened theirs up to more travel ball and even Little League. So I wasn't sure how Montgomery County was doing. So, Coach.
Yeah, I'm not.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, Coach Spencer, you guys, we talked about the COVID thing with us over here, and you all also got to see us on the graduation video if you got to watch that. But how is it now? Looking back, how does it look like the COVID has affected Balcony baseball?
In my opinion, it's affected us tremendously. Usually during this time, and even throughout the season, you rely so much on those young guys getting as many reps as possible. Like we talked about a few months ago, I was going to bring back 3 returning starters. So I was expecting a lot of young kids to step in and play. Now they lose that year of development, and now we're moving into some of their freshman, sophomore years, and they haven't touched the field yet. And I'm going to rely on them to be starters in a pretty heavy schedule. Come the spring, if it even happens.
So it's a little bit different scenario. Coach Varney coming back with a upperclassman-dominated team. You coming back with a young team, developmentally losing the kids versus experienced kids. Both are tough to lose.
Yeah, for sure.
Which one's tougher, Coach Varney?
Yeah, you know, I don't know. You know, we're in the same situation, too, now, where our number one pitcher next year maybe has 15 varsity innings under his belt, and now he's got to be the dude. You know, we lost 2 of our graduating seniors. Well, actually, 3, all of them pitched, but, you know, 2 of those guys would have threw 60 innings plus for us this year. And then, you know, we'd have had another kid, a junior, be a senior now, and a couple freshmen that would have got some valuable innings on the mound to be ready for next year. And they've lost that whole year of getting the field, the competitiveness, you know, the older guys behind them in the field for them. So now they're just going to be thrown to the wolves.
And again, it comes back to, I guess, which one hurts the worst. You said you're going to be competing for a region. Frank's trying to build a team to compete for the region. Both are tough, but both are critically important to have as far as having the young teams. I know we were kind of in the same boat, I guess Frank was, with softball and had a lot of young players, and now you lose the whole season. Some of the kids are playing travel ball. I'm just not sure how each community is dealing with the travel ball. So that's my biggest question is, how is everybody else doing that, or how are you handling? Do you have kids playing travel baseball?
We do. We have some kids playing, and you know, I've still got some older kids coming back that's got some experience. But I guess the best thing about it is we're all in the same boat. You know, we're all in the same boat. It's not like that somebody's out there and got more experience than any of the rest of us.
Yep.
They all lost the same thing we lost. So I'm sure it'll be, you know, take us half the season or whatever to fill in the cracks, and we'll be right back at it.
Now, I'm going to ask you a real tough question here, and then we'll take a break here in a second. But give me, if you know now what you would know August the 1st, what do you think about school starting back? Do you think that you're probably going to be a go on the start time? And how do you feel about school starting back?
You know, I think it's going to be a lot of parent choice. I think, you know, we're probably about double the size of Powell County, and some kids will choose to stay home and some will choose to come. And I'm not sure what those numbers will look like, but, you know, I think we'll start on time. I just think it's going to become a parent choice and if they want to send their kids or not. And then it'll be up to the administration and the teachers, and God bless the principals. I'm trying to keep those kids away from each other at a social distance space, I guess, of the discipline and the hassle that that's going to be.
That's a very good point you made there, as getting prayers with them all, because it's going to be a tough move in. Coach Spencer, what are your thoughts about the upcoming school season?
Yeah, I'm kind of on the same boat. I think logically we could start on time, but I do think as things get worse, which it's inevitable at this point, you know, numbers are growing. It takes a lot of especially in this small community, to understand what's happening, understand that the leaders in these power positions, they're literally trying to do everything to make it as safe as possible for all of our students. We're not going to, you know, they're not trying to upset anybody. It's just the nature of the beast sometimes. And we just have to roll with the punches. We have to be flexible. And it's hard for some people, but, you know, it's a good time to learn a new skill or a new frame of mind there.
Yeah, I will make one statement here, I guess, is I think school is the best place for these kids to be. We're all hopeful that we get back into school, get back into regular routine. But at some point, you have to think about everybody's safety, the students, staff, all involved, because there will be people at risk if you choose to go back to school. Just at what point, how long you stay in school, it will be the biggest question from there on. We'll take a break, come back with some more. We got some stuff going on with these two guys, and we'll talk about a little bit about that here when we come back on BCSN Live.
Hinkle Contracting Company specializes in asphalt paving for commercial and large private applications, parking lots, roads, entryways, and more. And they can do complete site preparation and provide expert asphalt paving. Call their local office at 606-663-2437 or find more information at hinklecontracting.com. For all of your asphalt and aggregate needs, think Hinkle Contracting Company.
At Davis & Davis Funeral Home, we have years of experience caring for families from all walks of life. Each family comes to us because they know we are leaders in our profession, dedicated to excellence in service, and have the highest integrity. Life is full of opportunities to show someone we love them. Together, we will create a fitting and memorable event for your loved one. Call 606-663-9480 or visit us online at davisanddavisfuneralhome.com for more information.
No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you. Dealing with emergencies is never easy when they happen. It's important for you to know that you have someone in your corner. Whether you're facing a medical situation yourself or a loved one needs immediate care, we're here for you 24/7. Our emergency trained staff puts patients first and never forgets about the family, communicating every step of the way through rapid treatment. No matter your emergency, Clark Regional Medical Center is here for you.
When you need insurance for your home, auto, life, or business, contact agents Lisa Mays and Shauna Mays at Whitaker Bank Insurance Group. Stop by their Stanton office, located inside Whitaker Bank on Main Street, or give them a call and get a quote at 606-663-3625. Always striving to meet the needs of their customers, Whitaker Insurance Group, 606-663-3625.
And welcome back to BCSN Live with Dave and Ken here on WSKV 104.9 FM. All right, Coach Varney, a little bit about what you're trying to do with your NPO, I guess.
Okay, so I guess I need to kind of tell the whole story. This is going to be a 20th year coaching high school baseball. And, you know, I have some regrets on keeping up with my former players and, you know, where they're at in their lives and how they're doing, their kids, and, you know, so just, I guess that's a major, just tearing at my heart type of deal. So I thought about trying to get everybody together once a year, you know, just some type of reunion. And then that led to, well, maybe we can do more and try to help them and their kids and our former players and current players all together. So we're going to start a nonprofit organization for our kids of Montgomery County Baseball and Powell County Baseball. And we're going to try to help not only my former players, our former players, current players, middle school players, travel ball kids, the whole way through. We're going to try to do some things for them, you know, just to get them involved, stay involved with baseball, and to be more successful as they graduate and head off to adulthood, so to speak. So, you know, I know from personal experience that you get everything in life from the people you know. You know, I know that your connections in life and who you're connected to and who you're networked with is so important on things that you need, how you get things, and when you need something to be able to get it. So, like I said, we're just trying to start something to help both communities, both programs from the top to the bottom. And that's going to start small. So it's not going to be something that, you know, extravagant. It's just going to be, you know, maybe some equipment, maybe some baseball. Maybe we pick the oldest travel ball team from both counties and buy that travel team's hat, whether it's Little League or something, and just try to, you know, put some money back into the kids and investment in our future for when we get them. And it's also led to some other thoughts like educating our seniors and high school kids. Hey, you're about to get in the real world, and you need to learn about debt and investing and taxes. And, you know, maybe our former players are starting a college fund for their two-year-old. You know, some interview skills with some of our guys on our board that can do some mock interviews with these guys and teach them how to get a job. You know, what it takes to do those types of things. How to save money. You know, the traps that we all fall into as far as debt and loans and things that you can afford and not afford to put you in a financial hole as you grow as an adult. So that's just some of the things that we're trying to do. And so I had these thoughts and these ideas, and I just called all my friends and got these two counties together, some of these guys in the county to help get this off the ground, so to speak. You know, like I said, you got to know people to get things started and to give you help and guidance. And I have been so fortunate in my 20 years to make such great relationships and know some great people that can, if they can't get me the answer, they will point me in the right direction to get that answer. So, you know, from Powell County, it's going to be Coach Frank Spencer, who played for me, Tim Rogers and James Clark, all good business people. From Montgomery County, Gene Combs, who was, you know, used to coach at Lee and Madison Southern and Montgomery, who's now with me as one of my assistants. Todd Jacobs, eye doctor there, his son just graduated. Ray Robertson, J.R. Butcher, and Richard Fuller over in Montgomery County. I know that's a lot to digest, but that's just kind of a start to it.
Well, how far have you gotten this? What have you got? Have you got anything lined up to go as far as, I know it's a large group of folks to kind of get moving, but have they got anything planned out so far?
Well, we've met twice, and we've discussed some ideas and stuff. We have, you know, James Clark is working on filing us for a nonprofit. He was working on it today as we speak. It should get off the ground tomorrow, so hopefully we get approved for that, you know, in the next week or so. But we're looking at trying to start a reunion, you know, whether that's be at Montgomery or Powell. You know, hopefully we can do something. I would like to do something at Easy Walker Park where, you know, all the guys can get there. And, you know, we was going to do like a $5 dinner to just start raising some money. And then, you know, whether we do it at the softball field there, have like a charity softball game or two where the guys can play and pay and, you know, hopefully not tear an Achilles or anything like that. But have a little fun, relive some memories, see some of their buddies, you know, and just get those type of things going. But we wanted to do it before school starts, but with the COVID stuff, we're going to kind of hold off to the end of September, maybe like early October, you know, work around UK football and stuff. So, you know, probably October 3rd is more likely of a target date for us to have some type of reunion for these guys and to, you know, just connect with my former guys. And then the thing about it is, if they want to donate or if they want to come and to this dinner and pay $5 to eat and bring your family, that's great. If you don't want to be part of it, that's fine too. Just, you know, I just want to see these guys and see how they're doing, just to say hi.
Now, Frank said earlier off the air, I think you've got a Facebook page now, kind of for the kids to go to and sign up to.
Yeah. Coach Varney's organized a group. It's called Glory Days, and we all get on there. I'm assuming he's got one for Montgomery County as well, but he started one for Powell County, and it's a closed group where you know, families and former players are a part of it. They can see different memories. You know, we've had a lot of interaction on there of the 2006 regional championship with that group of guys. And it's kind of cool because I saw it from outside the fence, and now I'm getting to look at it and see what it was like through the eyes of the players that were on the field when that happened. I mean, that we could sit and talk about that game against Leslie County all day long.
I was on the radio that day with Greg, I believe, and doing the broadcast. So it was a pretty cool day.
Yeah, I mean, and it's cool that we have that opportunity to look at it and see guys like Keenan Muncy and Colton King and all those guys, you know, talking back and forth about how it went down, and you know, Roy's big hit, and Coach Varney's got, you know, a baseball that was more than likely the ball that actually won him the game. It's super cool, and I think it's an awesome idea because we all go our separate ways after we graduate. We stay in touch with some of them, but here lately, I've been interacting with a lot more of the guys that I graduated with that I haven't. For instance, Ryan Sinners messaged me the other day. He's coaching a youth team. I forget. It's like a 12U youth group team. And he's like, hey, give me some tips on what I need to teach these kids because our first practice is tonight. And I was like, okay, I'll have at it, man. Make sure you have fun, all that good stuff. And without social media and interacting, just like Coach Varney, like, we need to get all these guys together because we can rely on each other to move further on into whatever we want to do. And like Coach Varney said, the more people you know, the better opportunities you got to get into something that you not normally wouldn't get into.
Anything to add to that?
Well, you know, like I said, it's just this is kind of just taking the life of its own meaning. But the Facebook page, I started with the 2016, which is my first team, which I've also invited, I don't know if Frank's in it, Coach Dean is in that now too. And, you know, I hope Coach Dean will start posting some stuff with his teams and you know, before I got there and just to get everybody involved that's been there and had the blood, sweat, and tears of you know, being a Powell County Pirate and then, you know, a Montgomery County Indian. And, you know, like I said, we started with the 2016 because that was my first team. I'm going to eventually get to the 2007 all the way up to my last year there, which was 16. And then, you know, Frank can post some things and his former guys. And, one of the guys posted the other night his senior plaque, Anthony Kiffin, you know, talking about it. I put his stolen bases on there. Something, he was 2-for-2.
He was 2-for-2.
2-for-2. And so it's just, you know, I want those guys to get involved. I want them to post stuff. I want us to tell where they're at, you know, what they're doing in their lives. You know, hey, I still love you. I know I've not seen you in 15 years, but, you know, like I said, you know, even if you hated my guts when you played for me, you know, come see your friends and see your buddies.
Yeah, I tell you what, it is a, you know, when you reminisce with your buddies about playing ball, obviously if I'm out with Darryl Billings or Greg McIntosh or those guys, we all played together, and your biggest memories are, remember that regional tournament win? And it's, you're right, it is good memories with your teammates and all those are out there. Now, I got a couple more questions I want to ask you, but I want to take another break here real quick. We'll get back to you in just a moment here on PCSN Live on WSKV 104.9 FM.
The death of a loved one is the most difficult loss that you will endure in this life. Hearn Funeral Home Incorporated provides you and your family with a meaningful and compassionate environment to assist you through this difficult process. Hondo Hearn and the staff of Hearn Funeral Home believe that every life has value and should be honored. If they can assist you in any way, we ask that you contact them at 663-4375 or stop by their modern facilities at 125 West College Avenue in Stanton, Kentucky. You may also visit their website at hernfuneralhome.com.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Welcome back to BCSN Live with Dave and Ken. Again, we're joined by head baseball coach at Powell County, Frank Spencer, and head baseball coach at Montgomery County, Chris Varney, also a former Powell County head baseball coach. So you've been in this business now for 20 years, Chris?
This will be my 20th year coming up, yeah.
I am getting really old. that's what that 20 years tells me.
So is he.
I guess you're getting there. Now, you didn't start. You got your start, I guess, in Hazard as an assistant there, right?
Well, no, actually, right out of college, when I went to Alice Floyd, and I graduated from Alice Floyd, they asked me to take over at Jim Buchanan. So, out of college, I started as a head coach at Jim Buchanan, like 23 years old. Then I went to Hazard and was assistant for 3 years, and then came to Powell, which I was 25, 26 years old, my first year at Powell. So, I'm now 42.
Now 42 years young. I consider that still really young, by the way. But you got in at a young age, so you... It kind of, you and Frank are kind of similar. When he's had his 20, he's going to be about 42 also.
Yeah.
So it's going to be kind of a similar time for you guys. For me, I wasn't that young when I got started as a head coach, but it does make a difference as far as hopefully you'll get to coach, 15 more years, Chris?
I could retire in 12, I think.
Well, you know. Now, do you plan on coaching as long as you can, or do you plan on, maybe getting out whenever you retire?
You know, I don't know. I think it depends on a lot. I've got two young boys now.
Yep.
I don't know if many people in Powell know that, but I've got two young boys. You know, one's almost three, and the other one's 9 months old today. And I think it'll depend on what they want to do and their interests. You know, I'm not going to miss out on their life so I can continue to coach. You know, I've had my moment in the sun, I guess you could say, so... If my boys are involved in it, I'm sure I'll be involved in it somehow. But if they choose not to play baseball or be involved in baseball, you know, I'll probably do my 10 or 12 years and I'll be done.
And you're also going to get them started in golf, I'm sure, because you still love golf, right?
Yes, they will. That's something that I can still do with them because I'm 42 years old and have a 3-year-old and a 9-month-old. So, I'll get them involved in golf and, you know, whatever else they want to do. I don't care what they want to do.
All right, now, I was just kind of teasing with that last one, but I know you started loving golf when you was over here, so I'm sure you still play a lot. How do you want these kids maybe to try to contact you about joining the group that in the last 20 years?
Well, you know, like I said, we started a Facebook page. Any of those guys that are in there can invite anybody they want to invite. I think it's pretty wide open. If Frank wants to invite somebody or anybody else in that group, can invite a former player. They can see things that I've posted and, you know, some of the other guys have posted and just kind of follow it through that way. And then, you know, with Frank being as young as he is and Twitter and all the Instagram stuff, he's going to start throwing out some stuff on that as far as, you know, letting everybody know through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever else you want to do. You know, he's going to get some information out that way. And then, you know, just to try to get this thing off the ground.
And I'll also ask this real quick. I know you are really big as far as keeping the Hall of Fame going with baseball. Frank does it now with the suppers or dinners or whatever as a fundraiser. Are you planning on maybe seeing some of those guys that you all get to coach maybe in your Hall of Fame group here in a short amount of time?
The Hall of Fame here is really, it's an exclusive group of guys now.
It should be.
It's very, very difficult to get voted into the Hall of Fame. First of all, the process hasn't changed. The only thing that I've really made a change to is having every couple of years, the list gets really big of nominees that they get to vote for. The current Hall of Famers vote for the new Hall of Famers. I have the coaches, staff, and the parent, they have no say in who gets voted in. The only thing that I've changed is as the list dwindles a tad, I have the current Hall of Famers nominate one player because you lose out on a lot of the older generation as the newer generation gets voted in, which we've had plenty of recent Hall of Fame members that, you know, played from 2002 until just a few years ago. But I've seen a lot more of the older generation get nominated, and then once that name goes on the list, and they're like, oh, yeah, that guy. And they just get hammered with votes, and they just get put in, like, unanimously almost. Last year we had a really good turnout with Coach Collins. Literally his whole team showed up to the Chili Supper. They drove from Ohio. They made plans to be there. It was one of the bigger ones that, attendance-wise, that I've seen. We were busting at the seams in that lunchroom. And that's the kind of thing we want to try to build, is that general knowledge of, you know, this is Palcanea baseball. We're a massive family. We've been around for a long time. There's a lot of rich history here. And we're trying to just build on that and just capitalize on the connections, helping our kids who leave here go on to do bigger and better things and hopefully give them some supports along the way. And he's doing the same thing in Montgomery County. And he's got Gene on his staff who, you know, coached there for a few years when I was in high school, who has a ton of connections over there. The group of guys that he's got put together in Montgomery County, from the insurances, the banks, the doctor's offices, we've got all areas covered. And then we're still looking, you know, to add some more pieces here and there to help us out. But as of right now, we've got a pretty good base, and we're trying to do the right thing to help the group as a whole and benefit everyone.
Yeah, the reason I mentioned the Hall of Fame was in the past, the Hall of Fame was probably the biggest one-day event for former players to come in to recognize who's going in the Hall of Fame for that group of kids or whoever it may be. And it would be great to see each other in a different setting other than just the Hall of Fame.
Right. And that's kind of what, you know, the alumni
– Yeah.
It's kind of like an alumni association where we help everybody. But getting like a certain date every year where we can go and we can play a softball tournament. We can get, you know, 80 former players from both Montgomery and Powell together. Pick teams, you know, show up, hear this and that, and, you know, go have fun one day. And, you know, bring your families, meet each other. There's probably people that I play with who have no idea that I have two kids now, and I don't know what their personal life is like. We've got guys living out of state that would make plans to come in and be a part of that, that we don't get to see very often, but we keep in touch with, you know, virtually. Other than that, you know, we're trying to create opportunities to where we can, you know, continue building relationships and supporting each other.
Kind of like a Powell County baseball homecoming, if you will, right?
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
Or Montgomery County. I didn't mean to leave you out there, Chris. I'm just talking in general. But like a homecoming for baseball, you always see these football homecomings and basketball homecomings, and not really something you see in baseball. But I look at the two counties, Powell and Montgomery, and to me, you're talking about, you know, Moco baseball and Poco baseball, probably two of the biggest fan favorites, I guess, or school history is rich in baseball. And I'm assuming it's still a rich tradition in Montgomery like it used to be, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, we get a lot of – it just seems like these two counties have got a lot of – and I don't want to call you an older guy, Faulkner, but just a lot of those old guys.
I'm getting old.
Baseball now. It's a baseball town. Both towns are baseball towns. It's got a lot of old baseball traditions and guys that just love baseball. They want to talk baseball. They want to see you. They want to come watch you play and see how your team's doing. It's a lot of those old guys in both towns.
Yeah, I think you always have the support of your old baseball members. They also think they're the best coaches in the world, too, so they can also be your biggest critics at the same time, right?
Yes.
See, he just leaves it a simple yes on that
one. Yes.
I love it. I got one more break to go to. We'll be right back on PCSN Live. You're on WSKV 104.9 FM.
You may find yourself with a backache, sore shoulder, or downright painful knee. We often just take it easy and hope the pain subsides after wondering what happened. Navigating our current healthcare system can be a daunting task. A cost-effective approach is to schedule a free injury screen with your Stanton Apex Network physical therapist. During a free injury screen, you'll spend time with a licensed professional to figure out the best plan of care, completely free of obligation or cost. Apex Network Physical Therapy is your hometown provider for the highest quality physical therapy and sports rehab. Contact the Stanton Apex Network Clinic at 606-393-6505 to schedule your free injury screen today.
We value our customers at People's Exchange Bank, which is why we serve you with a staff of experts that are happy to meet your lending needs. We offer a variety of personal, small business, agriculture, and commercial loans, along with competitive rates and quick decisions. Your bank shouldn't compromise on your imagination, drive, and growth, so let us help move you forward with a loan from People's Exchange Bank. Get started and get going. Visit us online at www.pebank.com or stop by a local branch to find the loan that fits you best. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Did you know that Stanton Ace Hardware now offers full-service sales and repair on the popular steel brand chainsaws, string trimmers, blowers, and pressure washers? Stop into the former Rose's Garden Center right next door to the main Ace Hardware building and check out their large inventory of new steel products and a large inventory of parts. Stanton Ace Hardware, your hometown dealer for steel, Husqvarna, Echo, and Skag. For more information about deals and coupons at your Ace Hardware, text ACE right now to 606-663-2811. That's ACE to the studio number right now, 606-663-2811, for special savings at your Stanton Ace Hardware.
Hey, so I'm looking through your back window right now, making a shopping list. You just have so many expensive, nice things that would look great in my house, or even better, as cash in my wallet. As long as you don't get those pesky folks from Protect Security and Fire Systems involved, my payday should be sometime early Saturday morning.
Don't let your home breaking be someone else's payday. Protect your home from thieves, fire, and much more. Call Protect Security and Fire Systems today at 606-663-9344.
And welcome back to PCSN Live with Dave and Ken, and here on WSKV 104.9. Again, we're talking a little bit about baseball in Powell County and Montgomery County with the two coaches, Coach Varney and Coach Spencer. Again, you've been down this quite a while now, Chris, but like you said, I'm pretty old, so I know I was going through some of my papers into my office the other day, and it was like a K-tip from Chris Varney and a K-tip from Kevin Lawson, and so I got to thinking, should I throw these away or give them to these cats? You know what
I'm
saying?
Sounds like you need to clean out your desk.
Hey, it's still on my desk, I think. So if you ever want your K-tip papers, Chris, I got them.
I'm good.
Yeah, and we don't have K-tip anymore, so I guess that's kind of obsolete.
My year was the last year they did it.
Yours was last year?
Yeah.
I thought it was a good program, but I guess lack of money makes not do things. So, anyway, you guys got anything else for us as far as what's going on, how to contact, or can people make donations with you guys, or how does any of that stuff work?
Yeah, give us a few days to, you know, get us approved for the nonprofit, but you know, that should be underway and going very soon. I know James Clark's working hard on that. But just to mention a few more things, you know, besides this, you know, like I said, we're going to do a reunion type of dinner, you know, softball game. We could host a regular season baseball tournament and donate the proceeds to the foundation. We can do some golf scrambles in both counties, you know, some little kids camps, baseball camps during the summer. We might do like an auction, you know, at some point, you know, and then when we get that information on how to donate, if some of you former guys want to donate, like I said, that would be great. If you don't want to, do not feel obligated. You know, this is just, we're trying to invest back into the community that's been good to us and taking care of us, and we want to help, you know, your kids and your kids' kids and just, you know, make something good. You know, like I said, this is, I do want to mention that what we're going to name this thing, and it's And I think it's a really cool name. It's called 555. And so basically, we're going to be in your kids' life from the age of 5 till they're 55. And that's, you know, of course, I'm not going to be around forever. So, you know, maybe my kids or Frank's kids or one of these former players can take this over at some point and keep it rolling. And, you know, just to try to make baseball in these counties and these kids' life better, because, like I was telling somebody today, you know, we can teach them how to hit a curveball or throw a curveball, but what the skills that we want to provide for them are more valuable than that, because everybody gets told someday that they can't play baseball anymore. And guess what? You got to live the rest of your life and be a successful adult.
And I will go in and say this. I think I've told you this before, and maybe I know later in your career, I think we saw a change here in Chris Varney, or I did anyway. I thought when you first started, you were kind of cocky and a little bit standoffish and seemed real shy. And it took me a while to get to know you really well, and we were together all the time. But I was so proud of you, because it looked like you changed. I think you were kind of the same guy all the time. The care that you had for the kids that you coached, because I know you went the extra mile with some kids. Some let you down, some didn't. And I want to thank you for the extra miles that you spent for the kids that you coached, taking care of them, giving them money, giving them whatever they needed. And people didn't know that. You never asked for any recognition of that. But I do want to thank you for the time that you cared about all the kids here in Powell County that you coached and you mentored. And I think you meant a lot to those kids.
Well, I appreciate it. You know, I don't know if I've changed a whole lot. I'm still probably the same cocky standoffish guy that you probably met, you know, 20 years ago. But we spend more time with these kids than we do with our families.
Yeah.
And they do the same with us. So, you know, you fall in love with them, and they respect you or love you. And you know, some of the kids, if I saw them today, they'd walk and say, "Hey, I love you, coach." And I tell them the same thing. You know, it's just it's like you said before, it's a unbreakable bond that you're going to have the rest of your life. And we want to rekindle that, you know, as they get older, and say, "Hey, man, I still love you. You know, if you need something, let us know. Or if I can't find it, here's a guy that can help you."
No, I agree. I just kind of want to point that out. I know people don't always get to see it, and I got to work with you while it was going on. And, again, I just want to kind of thank you. And, again, you never asked for any recognition for that, but I do want to make sure people kind of know that, because it's something that I think went really quiet under the table and under the radar. I don't think a lot of people knew what was going on unless you were part of that baseball family.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Dave.
No problem, Chris. Best of luck, and hopefully we get through this COVID thing. But I'll let you go. But thanks for being on. Hopefully we'll have you on again when we can talk a little bit more about how the group's going and how they really get this thing kicked off.
Okay, I just invited you through Facebook so you can start seeing some of that stuff, you know, tonight or whenever. And, you know, I want to thank the guys again that's helped me do this. You know, Frank, Tim, James, Coach Combs, Todd Jacobs, Ray Robertson, J.R. Butcher, and Richard Fuller. And for the rest of you guys and you former players, you know, if you want to get involved, you know, we'd be more than happy to welcome you to help get the thing going.
Thanks a lot, and best of luck, and stay in touch.
All right, thanks.
All right, thank you. Again, that was head coach of Montgomery County and former head coach here at Powell County, Chris Varney, and he's probably one of your next guys that needs to go in the Hall of Fame, I would think, at some point.
We actually put him in last year.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Sorry about that, Chris. I missed it. I think I knew that, but I forgot. I'm getting old.
Yeah.
But again, well-deserved, regional, twice two regional tournament champions, right?
Two here, yeah. Here? One in 2006 and 2012.
Yeah, great career here at Powell County. And, again, I tell people all the time, this is not a knock on you. Probably one of the best baseball coaches I've ever seen in Powell County.
Hands down.
So, I mean, it's probably a short list, really not all the big coaches that people think. But I don't know if I've ever seen the work ethic from a coach and the time they put in as Coach Varney. So, thanks for that. Now, Frank, what are your plans as far as going through the fall? Are you still part of the high school coaching staff at the football or middle school? What are your...
No, actually, I resigned from football. Did that, you know, a number of months ago.
Okay.
Basically, even before the COVID pandemic and stuff, I had plans in my head that I wasn't doing enough.
Baseball?
Baseball-wise. to, you know, work with our kids during the off season. I see a lot of development left on the table, and then I kind of, you know, it really stinks because now I'm kind of left here with my hands in my pockets, not able to do much. But we do have some things in the works. We've got some new tools we can work with and play with, and try to develop pitchers better than what we've got. We've got a lot of young guys who are getting up there in some velocity numbers, and that's without anything, without any additional aids and things like that. Our coaching staff has worked hard. We're coming up with a number of different ways we can get better throughout the off season, and that's just kind of what I wanted to do. I feel like I wasn't doing enough, and I wanted to plan basically from the last pitch of the season to the next one, strategically, what we could do to get better and start winning regional championships again.
Yeah, I totally get that. However, I've always coached three seasons up until then, but I totally get where you're coming from on that, and that's very admirable because I think it is time well spent. And again, it's a throwback. Also, again, you got to work with, like you said, 5-year-old, you know, the 555. Coach Charlie Childers, in my opinion, was the coach that he was because he was involved from Little League. He was the president through the Babe Ruth president, through the high school's coach, and he got to work pretty much all summer with all the kids, and I think that's what made him such a good coach. Down, I'm not saying he's the best strategist that we've ever had, but as far as working with the kids, I think at that time, it seemed like the league was ran better from one person that was in charge of everything, and sometimes we get kind of hung up on, we can't control everything. It's right. Kind of a different hands, but at some point, I wish you'd kind of get back to that where we were at least involved in the youth groups.
Yeah, I feel like I'm involved to a certain extent. I have consistent communication with all of the players in the county who are playing on various numbers of teams. I do love the Facebook posts of, you know, players playing, yeah. You know, winning championships, all that good thing. They know what they're working for. They're not out there just winning, you know, travel ball tournaments. They're out there getting better because a lot of those guys, and I've told them straight up, you need to work on this during your season. And I've told their coaches, they need to work. You need to get this guy on the mound as much as possible because we're going to count on him next year. You know, he's not pitched a lot, but he's going to. And then they just know straight up what they're working on during the summer. Win or lose summer games, it doesn't really matter as long as they're getting better as a group. And they're all in different sections of the counties and going their separate ways. But they're all pretty much coming together when it's time.
Yeah, not necessarily where they're playing, it's if they're playing.
Yep.
That's the big thing. You got to play to get better, and that's where I think our kids here in Powell County have struggled a little bit, is they've fallen behind because they didn't get to play maybe enough or compared to other people how they're doing. So it's a competition within all the counties.
Yep.
So to beat the best, you got to be the best you can be, and you only get better by playing. That's why we were asking the questions earlier about travel ball. It just seemed like our kids have kind of got stuck here. And like I said, I think I know some of the reasons and understand them. But again, one thing our kids have really missed, they've already missed a season. Now they're missing another kind of a season. Mm-hmm. That's a prep for going forward. So hopefully we can get all that worked out and the kids can play as much as they can. But again, we're going to step away from a quick – I might not have another break left. Do we, Ken?
We do not.
Oh, we do not have another break left. So we're good for the next minute here. Any closing words from either of you two guys?
I think what these guys are doing is a great idea. I think the idea of uniting everyone back together again to keep those connections and to do some good in the community. You can't go wrong anytime you can organize people to give back to the community, and to the youth especially, to try and get them involved in a sport that obviously everyone that's played it loves, you know, to be able to do that and get all these guys back together again, just for the camaraderie, right? Just for the fellowship, in a sense, to be able to get together and obviously to affect some positive change going forward as far as the youth. It's a great idea. It's a great venture, and hopefully everybody continues to get behind it and supports their efforts.
And it also brings those kids that sometimes the kids themselves think they're forgotten. Mm-hmm. And I don't think any of the kids are ever forgotten that we've coached. We remember all of you guys. I know I've got a list at home of everybody that's played softball since 1995. And that's a lot of people that's involved. And, you know, the baseball list is probably larger than that list. And to get that together and keep it up, I mean, I'd love to see the books that you got from baseball. And David Goodman really likes those books.
Yeah, I'm sure he's seen them before.
He probably has. But again, I want to thank Coach Spencer and Coach Varney for coming on. Stay tuned for their updates on the 555 group, and we'll say goodnight from WSKV and PCSN Live with Dave and Ken.
Thanks for joining us for PCSN Live with Dave and Ken from the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram Studio in Stanton. This program is hosted by Ken Simon and David Faulkner. Production is done by Ethan Moore. Programming is done by Angela Osborne. PCSN Live with Dave and Ken is a Pickup Country 104.9 production. Tune in live next week or on demand at listenlikealocal.com or Apple Podcast.
Pickup Country 104.9, serving.